You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So what do you guys think? You like me looking over your shoulder? You like me ghostily peering through that frosted glass as you head to the
room? Gonna be honest, it's creepy either way. This stand-up thing you got here, and
yeah.
Looking over my shoulders,
looking
creepy.
Right in
I
my
never
eyes.
Even noticed it
in the corner
as I walked down the hallway, and it was behind the glass. That was honestly
Mace, it was
spooky.
Always
once I knew
to
it was
your
there.
Always an to apparition. Your left, and just kind of sat there. And every time I walked to the restroom, I'm like, hey, Trev,
spooky,
yeah,
spooky.
Andy,
when I saw it. In your voice, in Travis Rogers' voice, I heard the word, that's a little aggressive.
Yeah.
You like that one, don't
yes.
you? Yes. Some things are a little aggressive.
That is a little aggressive. Just turning around, Travis Rogers right over your shoulder.
Yep.
Creepily grinning at you.
So to paint a picture here in the studio, there's a John Ireland standee.
Yep.
Wearing a legalized
marinara
t-shirt. Yours is in here,
Pizza
Mace,
Hut.
Over here.
Oh, is my...
Yours in the,
mine
you're
is
in the
hidden away.
Yeah, behind D'Lo.
That's terrible. We've got a LeBron standee right here.
Yep. Aaron Donald.
We've got Aaron Donald. Now we've got
Travis
Rogers
on the outside.
Over the shoulder. Not in the room.
No.
Over
no,
the shoulder.
Looking through the window.
Looking through the window.
I don't like that. I don't like how that sounds.
Yeah, on the outside looking in. Like the blue check mark.
It's like
outside looking in.
Did we get
in.
Any resolution to that yesterday?
So we had an idea. And we'll see if you'll go along with this. We decided that we should have a paintball duel.
Okay.
So it's going to be Hamilton style. Walk 20 or
not
John,
a musical, John, an actual duel.
Have you seen John Wick 4? Same,
not
same
seen
thing.
It. Okay.
It ends on a duel. That we do 20 paces. You turn around. You fire,
okay.
And whoever hits the other guy gets the check mark.
And if you both miss, if
we
go
both
John
miss,
Wick style, you get closer. To
you get closer. You get 10 feet. You get 10 feet closer.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm 100% in on that.
John Wick pulls it at the end, though. It was an awesome ending.
Have you ever played paintball?
Yeah. Played paintball.
Yeah.
It was fun. Have you?
I have.
Yeah.
Only once. And when
I played once, too.
I think it was like Bobby went to a 13th birthday and
yeah.
they needed... parent chaperones, but it is fun.
You gotta watch out. I'm Aaron Burr. I am a dead eye shooter.
Quick draw McGraw.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that blue check mark still out
idea?
There dangling. Yeah, no, we kind of stumbled on it. I think it was my idea. Yeah,
okay.
A duel.
I was listening as I was going home yesterday, and I heard Chris say that I was never really even in the running for consideration.
Which shocked me. That you were there, we only have 5 check marks for some reason, and apparently you were never even in the conversation for one of the check
and,
marks.
And the explanation that I was given was, well, you never had one to begin with, which is not true.
Did you have one?
Yes,
I had one.
I know we all did.
Andy, you had one, right?
Yeah, I had one.
Or
and
you and your joint,
yeah, Brian
Twitter
and I had
handle.
One.
Yeah,
we also had an offer extended to us on behalf of the station to keep our check mark. They
and
actually
then?
Did come to us. We declined
no,
it. No, they did.
The station did?
You would have gotten one of the 5?
I don't think Carlo was going rogue. I'm
well, there
sure
are only 5 check marks. Well, the station was given 5 check marks.
Carlo texted me and Brian asking if we would like this. And again, I'm assuming Carlo was doing this officially on behalf of the station. So yeah, they recognized the value of being associated with me and Brian.
See,
on
you
Twitter.
Should call your other boss, David Locke. And say, where's our check mark?
We decided...
That's the Locked On Lakers podcast.
Yeah, 5 days a week, anywhere you get your
is
podcast.
Is there a YouTube component?
There is a YouTube component.
Excellent.
If you're an everydayer, you know what we're talking
right.
about.
Right. By the way, you've got
Locked
the...
Locked On Rams.
Locked On Rams.
I do.
Yeah. You
I do
it, what, every week?
In the off season, we've been a little bit, maybe weekly here or there, but we're cranked up next week, starting every day.
During the season? Oh, every day.
Yep.
Yep.
Wow. Well, it's post-draft. There's
yeah,
gonna be
post-draft.
More
post-draft.
You got 11 draft hitting. Picks to try to
he's
figure
also
out.
Gonna do Locked On Man United. He's gonna do Manchester United.
Oh, nice.
Locked On Gauchos.
Yeah.
we'll lock that in.
Yeah.
I love the idea about a duel.
Oh, a duel is great.
That'll be good.
So dramatic.
We gotta wear like
goggles.
Gotta
wear
masks
goggles.
And something. You gotta shoot for the center mass, right?
Yeah.
Like I gotta try to hit you right in the center of the chest. If I try to wing you or something.
I want one of
work.
Them John Wick Kevlar suits. He actually has a very stylish Kevlar suit.
Well, everything he wears is custom-made Kevlar.
It is all everything he wears is Kevlar. That's why he never dies.
We have enough space in the hallway here.
We do.
Now, the problem is, if you guys miss, it's just paint going all over the wall. I don't know how.
We will.
Well, it's got to be paint that washes off.
True.
Like if
I don't think it can be. I think it has to be the real deal. These guys are just, they're taking a chance. They're being clutch in the moment.
If it misses, you clean that off. But if it's splatter from a hit, you want to keep that
there. Oh, yeah.
Right.
It becomes, at that point, history.
Well, true. It's like we've got a Pete Carroll quote on the wall, and next to it, a splatter of victory.
I wonder if there's like the equivalent of, I know that there are shooting ranges to go practice guns.
Yes.
But is there paintball? Do I have to go to one of those weird abandoned alleys to practice?
You know what? That's probably it. Weird abandoned alley. That sounds good. See you
there.
That's
where all those things are, right? Where they throw some old tires in the background and a burnt out VW.
The underground paintball scene everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
It's like Fight Club. But
the only rule about paintball fight is don't talk about paintball fight.
Are you going to practice?
What do you think?
I think, you practice pickleball.
Correct. I will practice.
Yeah.
No, I will be out target shooting.
Dude, if Sliwa was involved...
Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring your standee out there.
Put a blindfold over and a cigarette.
Put that as a target.
Exactly. It's just shots all over him.
If Allen was involved in this duel, after the practice period, he would come back like a marksman. He would come back being able to hit Mace from like a thousand feet away in a tower.
With a 30-mile-an-hour wind.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever play pickleball after that Saturday?
No. Yes.
Ever.
Not
you
yet,
did.
No.
I did.
You played once or
I
more?
I played once at Santa Monica, which I have been told is the mecca of pickleball in Santa Monica. Olympic Park or Memorial Park in Santa Monica.
Okay. Slee?
I played once.
Because you were super gung-ho after.
I played once, a couple days after me and Berg did, and I have not touched the paddle since. And I'm like, all right, I think that's it.
Yeah, you just wrapped it up?
I think so.
It's all over till next year.
Unless somebody says, hey, do you want to go play?
Are you retiring?
I'm not
going to
be initiating anything. Look, that's the funny thing. If you and I had played more, anybody that thought that we knew what we were doing, I don't think watched us enough. But the fact that you took up so much space, I just got to...
take it easy.
No.
Yeah. Man of a certain carriage.
Trav went to the center, and you can't really hit it by him.
Yeah,
so I just sat in the back.
Yeah.
And I came back. All I did was hit one or two.
Yeah, that's, by the way, not also. You can't hit it by him. That's another kind of
dig.
He's right
here.
Yeah.
I can hear you, you know. My headphones
work. Literally took up the whole...
Yeah. No, I think you guys were very credible.
Average.
You actually played really well.
Very average.
We lost our opening match.
If I didn't have my brother, I would have been screwed.
Your brother was a good player.
He was a very good player.
Your brother was a good player.
He was everywhere.
Will you teach me how to shoot? I know we don't like to talk about your double life as an assassin or whatever it is you go do when you disappear, but I have a feeling you know how to shoot.
Yeah, it's between Lakers Talk, Lakers Talk Daily, and Lakers Pregame.
And then a marksman.
What are those situations where Slee just picks up that paintball gun and shoots a fly off of somebody at the top of their head from 50 yards?
Damn, I'd love to say that was true.
You do so many shows, you've got to drive away to Yosemite. You have to go to the Sequoias. You've got to just escape.
Are you a hiker?
I'm not a hiker, but I've been to the Sequoias. I've been to Yosemite.
Like, you just drive through and keep it
just
moving?
Just drove through. No,
did you get out and walk around at all?
I did a yoga retreat up at the Sequoias, which was fantastic.
How long is that? How long are you out there for?
3 days. 3 days. It was absolutely beautiful. Have you been to the Sequoias?
I have not.
Yeah, there's something to
see.
No,
it's amazing.
Yeah,
it really is
incredible. Ancient trees are amazing.
You mentioned the yoga retreat.
Yeah.
Chris does yoga. You are a yoga...
I'm making air quote signs.
Chris does
yoga.
He told us.
What's the job called where you lead the class? I don't know.
Teacher.
It's just teacher?
Yeah.
Instructor or whatever.
As a yoga teacher,
would
it kill me? Like, if I tried to do it, would it just absolutely... Because
I could teach a class for you that would be fantastic. You know, I was a trained yoga teacher.
I know you are.
Yeah, I would teach a class that would totally work for you.
Super out of shape.
Yeah, that's
I'm incredibly unflexible.
He doesn't stretch. He refuses to stretch.
To put on my shoes is a bit of an effort in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that if I even tried the most simple downward-facing dog maneuver, I'd snap my hand.
No, we take you into a nice yin practice.
What's that?
Which is sort of a deep stretch. As much as you can stretch, you ease into it. But the one thing I learned is as a teacher, you've got to tailor the class to the people that are in the room. So I would tailor it. I would call it baby yoga. Yeah, I would teach you baby yoga.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I feel like baby yoga is a good
thing. But I cannot believe, Morales doesn't even know what down dog is.
I've never done yoga. I know, at least I know that one.
You know that one.
Yeah, Morales the only says,
one up dog, down dog.
He gets up at 4 a.m., what do you say, 6 days a week?
Uh-huh.
And does from 4 a.m. to 5 a.m. full yoga.
Total BS.
And
is that what he said on Ask CMM?
Ask Chris?
Ask Chris? I know he hates Ask Chris.
That's fine. That's what I call him.
That's exactly right.
I would, if I'm tweeting it, I need to use the phraseology that I use, right?
Slee, do you have an up dog, down dog?
I've done yoga. I did it probably like 5-6 years ago. Would do the hot yoga.
Yeah.
It's honestly one of the toughest things I've ever done.
Well, the hot yoga is a different level.
Yep.
And
then they open the door for like 10 seconds, you feel like you can breathe again, and then you're back to, I can't
breathe. Have you done it, Andy?
I've done it a few times. Didn't take.
It's tough.
It is tough.
It is tough.
Why didn't it take? Because you and I are similar in a lot of ways.
It didn't take, honestly, just time constraints. I found it challenging, interesting. It's good on your body. I just didn't have the time.
The thing about it is it's the patience. It is about the time.
Yes.
It's about hanging out in those poses.
Brian was doing it for
a while. It's about breathing and patience.
Yeah. I'm bad at both of those things.
It's a moving meditation.
Can we live stream it when you guys do it?
Oh, I would love to see that.
When we're done shooting each other,
you can lead me into a nice yoga class. Exactly.
Why not, right? Maybe should I have to do yoga if I win or lose?
I think you
should do yoga either way.
I think it would just be good for you, Trav.
You have to do the yoga
good for you.
With that, with a standee right behind you.
You can drive for hours without any conversation, so I'm sure you can do.
Am I the only one that likes to be silent for extended 100%. Period? Really?
Yeah.
You don't like just an hour goes by and you haven't heard, the TV's not on, you're not staring at your phone, you're just
I get
nothing.
Distracted, man. I'm throwing on something.
You know what I like? I like driving around. First of all, I like driving around listening to random AM radio. I love AM radio. I always have. I like the random weird talk. I especially when you're out of town and you put on a random AM radio
somewhere
in the middle of nowhere.
That's
like all geared for truckers. Like all the ads are for truckers.
The conspiracy theories left and right.
Look, we talked about the Art Bell show. But that's a specific sort of mood, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I just want nothing. I want my mind to wander. I want to just think about nothing and I don't want to have to listen to the radio or anything. Just silence.
You don't want music going on?
No. No.
Like great tinny AM radio
sometimes,
in the middle of nowhere?
But coming in, you're listening to stuff. Because of the show.
Yes.
When you're leaving.
Do you listen to Keyshawn,
Jay Will, and Max?
Frequently.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. See, I listen to you guys when I'm driving in. Mm-hmm. And then I listen to Shadano and Cap.
I listen
way
to
home.
You guys going home more often than I don't, but sometimes it's just I've heard enough of my own voice and I'm good. I need to move on.
It's like, what did May say for you to turn off the radio and say, I'm going to go and just complete silence.
I want to go radio silent.
You're going to shoot me.
That's what you said along the way. That's probably it.
Very quickly, Lakers come home tonight with the is it done? Do they finish this thing off? Do they put their feet up for a few days? Why the Kings and the Warriors beat the you know what out of each other?
Tell you what, given the fact that LeBron was as gassed as he was at the end of the game, I mean, he was
45 minutes.
I mean, they called a double timeout where Darvin called a timeout, then LeBron called a timeout. I need a little bit more time. They could use a couple of days to finish it out tonight would be huge.
After being very strategic through the first three quarters of the game, and I know he played a lot of minutes, Al, but this was not 2016 LeBron where 45 minutes is
the ball in his
10
hands
out of 10.
And
This was 2023 LeBron, which is for three quarters he was impactful but not in the way that he used to be until he had to be.
Yeah.
Here's what may matter most, and we might see this tonight. Does it matter more to be physically exhausted, which is what I think most people think the Lakers were after that because they are the older team than Memphis, or does it matter more to be mentally exhausted? Because I think Memphis could end up on tilt, especially if they get behind early. Ja and Dillon Brooks did not speak after game four. Yeah.
Well, they don't speak if they lose.
Right.
They just tell me when they win.
They either gloat or they don't talk.
I've never heard that before.
Bounce. They're in a
gloat or bounce, exactly.
They're in a real non-gloating position right now. And
sure.
They know they got to win three in a row.
Okay, but that's interesting because we were talking a little bit about that. How much fight does Memphis have? If Memphis faces they're down 10 and you're already down 3-1, are they saying, we'll do everything we can to go back to L.A., or are they already thinking in their mind, what's the offseason going to look like?
Let's go fishing.
I don't think they're going to give up. What I do think is they're going to get wild.
Go crazy.
I think you're going to see Dylan Brooks putting up shots that should be like...
Let's hope so.
They should be like a felony, these type of
There's
shots.
There's a reason why Dylan Brooks is open a lot.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah. Can I walk you to the three-point line, exactly. Mr. Brooks?
Yeah. You're going to see Jaren Jackson Jr. pick up crazy fouls, trying to block everything. You're going to see Ja
flying through the air.
I like this plan.
He's got to learn how to fall, by the way. Gosh. That's the thing about Ja.
Or just not try to jump over AD and LeBron.
He's so up there. It's unreal.
I'll tell you what, though. It may be the most fun thing to watch in the NBA.
No, it is.
It's
entertaining.
If he were a Laker or he were on my favorite team, I would be terrified every time he takes off. As somebody who just wants to watch cool, you know what, take off every time.
Yeah, that 26-point run he had, was it 26?
22.
22-point run was unreal.
It was pretty remarkable. Yeah. Super Crosstalk, powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about. Mason in Ireland, AK in for John. That's coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Good afternoon.
Roar.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Roar.
Roar.
Ooh, that was a good one.
You're on it, man.
I am on it.
Andy Kamenetsky's in for John. It's like working with a barnyard. Literally working with a barnyard.
One man animal show right here.
I'll tell you, we talk a lot about go to the game and all that kind of stuff. They did this again while LeBron was doing his interviews. There's no question. If you were in that locker room.
Wait, they did the pig sound?
At that interview situation, we would have heard Andy do this.
I would have stopped that whole thing cold. It would have been like the record needle scratching off.
Right. No, it would have been everybody's chipping in. And then Andy.
Everyone just turns around and looks at me.
Yeah. So it is a big night tonight, huh?
This is huge.
We got a chance to see the Lakers close this thing out. And as we were talking about with Travis and Sliwa, the potential here is with the Golden State-Sacramento game going long, it's 2-2 right now, that series cannot finish up until Sunday?
Friday, I think. If either team wins two in a row, because they play tonight.
Correct.
I'm assuming they play Friday, unless they have two games off in between. I don't know their schedule
off
the top of my
head. We're rooting for a seven-game series.
Oh, yeah.
The game would be on Friday.
Yeah. Game would be Friday, and then Friday-Sunday would be their
correct.
You are rooting for this thing, first and foremost, to go seven games.
Yeah.
Regardless of who wins, you want seven.
Because that gives the Lakers, and we talked about this, a chance to get a blow. It is an older team. LeBron James played 45 minutes, and AD played 43 minutes, I think, in game four. In round numbers, I think I'm really close to that. And we mentioned, LeBron actually called a timeout at one point, said, I need a minute here. I need a minute. Tonight, a chance to close it out, which would be huge. The one thing, we were talking about this a little bit before the show. That game from LeBron in game four, the game in which he went 22-20
Career high for rebounds for LeBron
was
James.
Was that right?
Yep. Career high for rebounds and the oldest player in NBA history to record a 2020 game in the playoffs.
And the first Lakers player to record a 2020 in the playoffs since Shaq in 2004. Yeah. So a long time, 19 years. I did the math.
Good for you.
So I think that was, and in the moment I thought that's his signature game as a Laker. But you know, sometimes the moment is not right. Like sometimes it's easy. I was at the game, the place was erupting. It's easy to get carried away and be prisoner of the moment. But now with a couple of days distance from it, it was LeBron's signature moment as a Laker.
I absolutely agree. 100%. I that moment to me feels as iconic an image of LeBron as a Laker as anything we've seen since he's become a Laker. And frankly, there haven't been that many.
Right.
Like the LeBron era has been very weird in certain ways, underwhelming. They've missed the playoffs twice. The year they won the championship was in the bubble, which I don't say to take away anything from the achievement.
Right.
But it was different as a playoff run.
Different, no fans. Right.
There was no moment of connection between Laker fans and LeBron in the same building during an eventual championship run. The following season, they went out early and anticlimactic because AD got hurt. You know, there's been the weirdness of LeBron arriving and a lot of Laker fans not knowing exactly how to feel about it.
Yep.
Like, we were talking about this before. If it wasn't this game four, this win over Memphis in overtime, the most connected I've ever sensed LeBron and Laker fans feeling is when he helped shepherd the organization through Kobe's death.
Correct. When he gave that speech.
Yes. And they won that championship. You know, they're very outwardly driven.
Yes.
To do it for Kobe.
Yeah.
But the actual championship run, like, to me, the most iconic moment of that run for a Laker was Anthony Davis hitting that shot versus Denver, actually mouthing Kobe.
Right.
And then if you think about the finals, I know the Lakers won. To me, the most indelible image was actually Jimmy Butler exhausted in that one Miami win where he played, I don't know, like 48 minutes, something insane. Like that to me is actually the most iconic image from the finals, even though Miami lost.
But Bergman, yesterday Momo was disputing this because she said, yeah, but what about the championship run? He mentioned the Anthony Davis shot. And LeBron was phenomenal. He was great in that series.
Absolutely.
But there was not a game or a moment where I think, oh yeah, that was the thing.
No, yeah, he was fantastic, but Andy's right. You think about the AD shot and you think about Jimmy Butler. Those are the two things that stick out from that championship run. So this, now the game in the last game, what sticks out for LeBron James? Is it him, you know, flexing?
Flexing?
Flexing, or is it him banging his chest after in the overtime after making the and one?
Which one do you think?
It's neither. It's that shot over Jaren Jackson Jr. to send it to overtime.
Yeah.
That shot was so hard.
Yeah.
Like, that is such a hard shot. And that was with everything on the line. He misses that shot, they lose the
game.
But
what did he do after that? I'm trying to remember what he did after that shot.
You know what? It would have
been. Was that the chest pound?
No, that wasn't after that shot. That wasn't. The chest pound was in overtime.
The flex was after the shot that put him up five.
Right. Right, and then later on.
In overtime.
Right, that was the chest pound. But you know what it would have been, actually? If after Anthony Davis blocked Ja Morant's shot, if he was a split second earlier and threw in that three-quarter court shot, that would have been the moment.
Well, that would have been.
That would have been the moment.
One of the craziest shots
in
NBA history to have won a playoff game on a 60-foot shot. And in the arena, I don't know, Bergman, you were in the arena.
I was in the suite, yeah.
So you were in the suite. On TV, apparently, it was very obvious that it was after the buzzer. In the building, I was on my feet. Ireland jumped up. Everybody jumped up because you don't see the red lights. You just saw the shot go in, and you didn't have like the little clock at the end of the bottom of the screen or anything like that. I thought it was. I thought that might be ball game.
So yeah, in the suite, we knew it was past the buzzer.
Yeah,
but you're still like, oh my god,
yeah, it's crazy.
So there was still that excitement that went to it. But yeah, it was after the buzzer. It was pretty obvious.
You know, the one thing that we've talked about a lot with this Memphis team is that they
don't have any veteran leadership.
They do not.
They don't have anybody who's been there. They don't have anybody who is over the age of 30. They don't have a veteran on the roster. And the reality is they've got so much great young talent. Whoever put that team together, and I don't know the GM in Memphis,
Zach Kleiman,
to have added a veteran or two, guys in their 30s who've been around, who could probably guide and shepherd that team, not just through the season, but through the playoffs, would have been really valuable.
Well, one of them was supposed to be Steven Adams
and, right.
And he's hurt.
Yep.
You know, they had Danny Green, and there had been some wondering about whether or not they would keep him.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe specifically for a run like this. But Steven Adams was supposed to be that guy. And I do think he actually commands a lot of respect in that locker room. But there's only so much leadership you can do in street clothes.
Right.
Especially when you've been in street clothes since January.
Yeah. Jorge, what do you think?
Yeah, street clothes.
My favorite thing. My favorite thing. When Jorge's not paying attention at all.
I was paying attention. You never came. You see me turn to the computer and you're like, Jorge, what do you think?
Jorge, what do you think? Man. Exactly. Jeez. So next Friday. I think it's next Friday. Is that right? It's next Friday, Cinco de Mayo?
Yeah.
Correct.
So we want you guys to meet us in the OC on Cinco de Mayo. ESPN LA taking over Solito Tacos and Margaritas in Anaheim for a Cinco de Mayo fiesta. We're giving away Angels tickets. We're giving, get this, we're giving away Mandy Awards tickets.
Ooh.
The Mandy sold out, plus Solito gift cards and more. We're going to be there starting at 10 a.m. with Travis and Sliwa. I'll be there with John Ireland. Shadano and Cap will be there. The entire 710 crew at Anaheim's hottest new restaurant, Solita Tacos and Margaritas. Light the fire within and feed your soul. That is next Friday for Cinco de Mayo. Coming up next for you, what I think may be the single most amazing LeBron James stat that I heard today. Single most amazing LeBron James stat that I heard today.
Before 1:30 p.m. Correct. Pacific time.
Exactly. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the Russell Westbrook song.
Come on.
Soul got broken last night.
Yep. Goodbye, Clippers.
I mean, look, I will say this. The Clippers played really hard.
Yeah.
That
did they win?
They did not win.
You don't get points for winning, but
I mean, for losing, but I'll tell you, actually.
Both teams played hard, my man.
You should not give the Suns a lot of credit for winning. They're not very good.
Hey, a win is a win. You know?
They're not very good. Suns.
You don't think they're that? Really? Nope. Wow.
Look how much.
Hot take.
It's not a hot take.
The Suns aren't good.
It's not a hot take.
Wow.
It's actually not a hot take.
Roars.
If you actually watch them play, as opposed to just pay attention to Booker, KD, and people who just think as long as you have stars, you win everything.
Yeah.
They're not that good.
You don't think so?
No. Look at how little they've managed to control, like really control a series against the Clippers that didn't have Paul George for any of it and Kawhi Leonard for like half of it.
Although here's the thing. They've only lost one game since KD got there.
Look at who they played. They mostly played bad teams or decent teams that didn't have their stars.
Wow. That is a hot take.
It's no, actually.
That's a hot take.
Wow.
Fine. You know what? It's a hot take, though.
Own it. Yeah.
I'm on it. If you want to call that a hot take, it's a hot take.
That
but I'm
is
right.
smoking hot.
Come
take.
At me. Yeah.
That is fine. It's fire. It's straight yeah, fire. Straight what fire. I'm saying right now is straight fire. But
yep.
Wow.
Denver's going to take him out.
You think Denver's going to take out yep. Phoenix?
Six games or less.
Wow. Okay.
There six it is. Games or less.
Put it on yeah. the record. Put it on the
it's
record.
It's on the board.
Or you as we like to see, save that tape.
Save it.
Despite the fact that we haven't used tape in 10 years.
Bring in a new cart.
I'm
bring
fine.
In a new cart.
Look, man, don't worry. I got it on DAT.
You got it on, oh, good.
On DAT.
Put it on reel to reel.
Phoenix wins the series. I am more than happy to have you throw this back in my face, but I'm just saying, they're not that good.
Fuego.
All right. the single most amazing stat I have heard about LeBron James ever today. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, it's fair. Fine. Works. Yeah.
Hottest stat ever.
Fuego.
LeBron James has never, never missed a playoff game because of injury. Never missed a playoff game because of injury.
That's amazing.
That is, I mean, think about how much time that guy has spent in the playoffs over the years.
I'm looking it up right now to get the exact number.
270, and it's the most all time.
270 playoff games. He's never missed one because of injury.
Most all time, never missed one because of injury. That's amazing.
Wow.
Like, most people don't get half of 270 for their playoff resume. Much less without missing any. That's crazy.
Tiffany from our sales team just texted me and said, I hope you don't jinx him.
There is no mace curse.
There is no mace curse. There is no mace curse.
This would go into the mace curse, and that doesn't happen. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's just a crazy stat. That's a crazy stat. I came across this story on another part of this series. This is a guy named Kyle Koster who writes for the Big Lead. He put this on the Big Lead. Dylan Brooks is the biggest sports loser we've seen in a long, long time. It is hard to dispute that. He is coming off like a gigantic loser. He did all that talking, and I think it's Sliwa's expression, your game has to be as big as your mouth. That's clearly not been the case. LeBron has absolutely owned him. If you look at the head-to-head when Dylan Brooks is on LeBron, what LeBron has actually done, at one point he was shooting like 61% of the field from the field when Dylan Brooks was the primary defender. I mean, he does have a chance to be the biggest loser in a long, long time.
It's not just that he hasn't been able to slow down LeBron or that his team is down 3-1. Or that he does all the talking, it's that he runs from the smoke. Like, nobody has asked for
that's
more smoke.
Point.
Nobody has asked, like said, give me all that smoke. And then the minute the smoke emerges, that dude is running from it.
Right. You created, literally he came out and said, you created this narrative about me. You've made me the bad. No, you made you
dude,
the bad guy.
You dress like a classic WWE heel
yep.
with like shirt open, DB chain,
yep.
sunglasses on. You talk about LeBron being old. You call yourself a bear poker.
Yeah.
Like, you actually say this. The whole, like, you know, you created the villain persona. I have seen you call yourself Dylan the Villain.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, great. Cool.
No, if you're going to own that,
yeah,
own it.
If you want to do that, do that. Like, him doing it doesn't bother me at all. It's
yeah.
fine. It's whatever. But don't blame everybody else when this thing goes sideways. Like, again, he is running from that smoke.
Yeah. Yeah. And has been unbelievably ineffective. As you pointed out, didn't talk to the media after that
twice.
Game. Oh, really?
He hasn't talked twice.
Was it after losses?
He didn't talk after the ejection game, and he didn't talk after game four.
Yeah.
And, like, the reason this stands out to me beyond the whole ducking having to face this.
Yeah.
Like, staying away from having to talk in the face of these losses. I also just wonder if it speaks to a guy getting increasingly on tilt and something that the Lakers can try to take advantage of.
You know, here's what's weird. The guy doesn't have a contract after this year. Who wants to be in the Dylan Brooks business after this season? If I was Memphis, I wouldn't be interested.
I think they're going to be making some interesting decisions. And like, look, to be fair to Dylan Brooks, he can be a really good defender.
Sure.
He's legitimate. He can make dumb mistakes, but he's a good defender. But he is not quite good enough definitively to be worth all the noise.
Certainly not against LeBron. And that's who he called out.
Right. I mean, it wasn't just poking the bear.
Yeah.
It's all the technicals. It's the suspensions. It's all of the stuff that, by the way, when you run your mouth, your team has to cash those checks,
yes,
too.
Correct.
It's not just you.
Yeah.
It's your team.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens in this offseason.
Okay, so I want to get to a couple. We're going to race through a lot of material today because we have a short show. The Dodgers have released their starting lineup for today. By the way, one last night. The bullpen was very good. 5 clean innings from the bullpen after Noah Syndergaard was terrible. Victor Gonzalez, Evan Phillips, Yancy Almonte, Caleb Ferguson, Shelby Miller got the save. Is he the new guy? Bergman, you think he's the guy?
They do not have a new guy.
I think they're going to wind up with a guy.
Yeah, maybe in like July.
Maybe it's Shelby Miller.
Because he had a good outing. Yeah, look,
maybe Shelby
he's been
Miller.
Good.
8-7 game. You go to Shelby Miller in the ninth.
Sure.
Maybe he's the guy.
Maybe. Tomorrow will be someone else.
Mookie Betts led off and played shortstop. That allows them to put, you know, a full outfield out there with Hayward and Outman and Peralta. Michael Busch made his debut last night, was 1-for-3 with an RBI single up the middle. Now, officially, he is in the lineup for today at third base, filling in for Max Muncy, who is on paternity leave. And who... Now, how many guys have been on paternity leave now?
Four. Also, if you count Cody Bellinger going on for the Cubs, that's 5 Dodgers from last year that are on paternity leave, all around the exact same time.
All right around the All-Star
break. In Los Angeles.
They all went to Cabo at the same time.
Yeah.
So they had fun.
So Michael Busch.
Bunch of sickos.
If you don't know, you know, if you're not a dug-in, hardcore Dodger fan, he's 25 years old. Had a 967 OPS through 102 plate appearances at OKC this year. He's cut way down on his strikeout rate, and his OPS over his last 118 games is 885, including 21 homers. 21 homers in his last 118 games. So very high hopes for this guy. This is the kind of guy that you talk about when you say, we want to trade for Shohei Ohtani. This is the kind of guy who goes in a deal like that.
Yeah, most likely.
I mean,
he's a top 5 prospect within the Dodgers. I think he's number 3, second baseman.
So is there a role for him going forward with this team this year? He plays third base.
Second base. And also a little bit of first base.
Okay. Doesn't solve our shortstop dilemma.
Nope.
You know what? I hadn't thought about this before until you brought up that Busch would be the type of guy that could get dealt for Ohtani.
Yep.
If you're looking for, I guess, a potential bright side to the Dodgers having to deal with all of these injuries, having to go with just more guys
yep.
than they're used to, you might be giving some of these guys more of a showcase that if they do well in, makes them more attractive for
sure.
Ohtani.
Yeah, exactly.
Because otherwise, if the Dodgers were at full strength, these guys probably wouldn't be up.
Although we made our decision yesterday, which is instead of trading Outman and Busch and Dustin May and whoever, Gavin Stone and Bobby Miller and whoever in that package, it's probably smarter for the Dodgers to keep all those guys and sign Shohei Ohtani after the season.
Rolling the dice on him choosing the Dodgers.
Correct.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, he's going to have to choose no matter what.
Right, but you know who thought the same thing a long time ago? The Lakers with Paul George. Everybody was convinced Paul George was going to be a Laker. He ended up staying with OKC.
Well, okay, so get this then. You're describing is a terrible scenario.
It is.
Which is the Dodgers move all this really good stuff for Ohtani in the middle of the season. Then he doesn't sign. Then the Dodgers next year are without Ohtani and without all the really
possibly,
good stuff.
But I think it's easier to guarantee a guy sticking around if you have him already.
Max Scherzer.
Yeah, that's a good point. Max Scherzer traded everything for him.
Same with Trey Turner. I mean, he was under contract for another year, but then he left. So you traded everything for Scherzer and Turner. They both left.
Yeah, if you trade all the good stuff, you do get Ohtani for the stretch run this year. But are you better off with the good stuff and Ohtani next year?
Okay, I mean, you got to be doing some back channeling, trying to figure out where Ohtani's head is
at. He's going to market.
No matter what.
You really don't think he's going? He's going to market. Dodgers can trade for him, but he's going to market. And the Mariners, the Giants, the Padres, the Mets are all going to be in the thing. Probably the Yankees.
Then if I, I would say this. The risk you're talking about is totally real. But if I really was trying to center everything that I'm doing in the future around Ohtani, I think it would be worth taking the risk to get him in your clubhouse, get him in your culture, try to create an attachment between him and the Dodgers.
Okay.
Even if it means
I think that's
risking.
A fair point.
Yeah.
I think that's the other side of the coin is, do you get him comfortable here?
Yeah.
So he likes being here and obviously will then stay. So that's the other side of the coin.
It's a risk, but I'm saying I think it's a risk that makes sense.
Yeah, and Andrew Friedman, I mean, you have to think he at least kicked the tires, and flip of a coin, roll the dice, we got all of it. Andrew Friedman's going to go after him. If he has a chance to get him, he's going to try.
Yeah. All right, coming up next for you, we're going to spin the wheel of questions. Plus, what are the odds for the Lakers to win the NBA championship? I've got updated odds coming up. Plus, the wheel of questions. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. And here we go. And, this is actually very timely. Just happened to come up on a very timely question. So, we've talked about Dylan Brooks being the villain. You know who else is a villain? Fernando Tatis from the Padres. He played at Wrigley Field yesterday. Fans were chanting, "You're on steroids." He started dancing to it. So he apparently does like the smoke, or at least is enjoying it. There are certain guys that thrive on booze, on being the villain. Would you perform well if you, Andy Kamenetsky, were the villain?
That's interesting. I don't necessarily care if people don't like me.
Yes.
But I don't know if I would want to go out of my way to make people hate me. Like, there's a real difference.
Right.
Like, I don't know if I want to be the antagonizer. I just don't care if you don't like me.
But what if you're just the bad guy?
Just the bad
guy? Would you thrive if you're the bad guy, or do you have to be the nice guy?
Honestly,
because you're a very, very nice guy.
Thank you. Honestly, it's hard to be the heel in real life. Like, we've seen a lot of athletes try to wear the black hat.
Yep.
And then they don't like it. Like, remember there was a period right after the decision, the first season of Miami, LeBron was really leaning into being the black hat guy.
Yeah.
I think he discovered pretty quickly, I don't like it. Kevin Durant's tried to lean into it.
Yeah.
He didn't like it.
Did not like it.
It's hard to be that public knowing that many people don't like you. That's got to be really hard.
Bergman, would you be able to function? Would you be able to live with yourself and thrive if you were the bad guy?
So at All-Star Friday night last year, I was booed every time I went to the
That place. Is true. You were.
I was booed over and over again, and I went 3-for-3, 2 runs scored. We didn't
win, not that I remember my stats.
Oh, no. I absolutely remember my stats while being booed. So, yes, I can thrive while being booed.
Ice water in your veins.
Yeah, that's right. Give me one of these.
Do you remember your stats? Did you play?
No, I was moving that day.
Jorge, did you play? Do you remember your stats?
No, I don't.
I was 2-for-2 with 2 runs scored.
No, you weren't.
I absolutely was.
Okay.
I remember my numbers the same way you do.
Yeah.
Jorge?
I mean, mine are real, though.
I don't remember anything.
No, not that.
Oh.
Would you thrive if you were the villain?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You would be okay if everybody booed you all the time.
Yeah.
There you are running the board, and people are like, boo!
Come at me. I'll give you a heart.
Boo!
I don't care. You know, I give you a like. That's all I give you.
That's it?
That's what I do on Twitter.
Exactly.
To people who
Twitter,
don't like
me. Twitter, I don't really care. But to be the bad guy, to be the villain, I would not do well. I thrive on being, I hopefully come across as likable most of the time. I'm not an eminently hateable guy.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Again, there's a difference between some people not liking you, which is going to happen, whatever. You can't make everybody your fan.
Yeah.
As opposed to just antagonizing people.
Yeah.
Like going out of your way to try to get that reaction, which can be fun, I'm sure. Like, I'm sure in Dylan Brooks' mind, because this all came up with Dylan Brooks, The idea of being the WWE type heel in the NBA,
yep.
It sounds fun.
Yeah.
Until you actually start living it.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to say something completely unplanned. So there were, and you may have heard about this, Disney and some changes. I want to say that our program director, Amanda Brown, has been the best program director that I have worked with. She was our producer. 12 years ago, she started as our producer. She moved on to become, one of the most recognized program directors in all of sports radio. And she, after June, is going to be leaving us. And Boss Amanda, I got to tell you, when I got this news, I was absolutely heartbroken about it. You've been not just a great boss, but a great friend for many, many years. And we are all going to miss you badly.
Is this a hell fellow well met?
No.
I'm just kidding.
No. But we are all so sad about it. And you really have been great to work with, great to work for, and just an amazing friend over the years. So we want to say thanks. I know you're going to be here around
I'll be in and out until my last day will be June 27th. And I will be at the Mandy's.
We'll be at the Mandy's.
Yes, so to all the listeners out there, I'm excited to see you guys one last time.
And long after you have left us, there will still be a Mandy Awards. Your name is forever commemorated.
I may still show up. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know where the future is going to take me. God's got other plans for me, and I don't know what they are, but... I'm excited to see that next chapter.
Well, the future is very bright. I mean, you're talented and you're smart and again, just an amazing human being. You're going to do well. We trust that you're going to do well. We know you're going to do well. So thank you.
Thank you. And I just want to say thank you to all the fans too, because they've been so supportive over the years to me, both as a producer and even now. And we wouldn't be able to do what we do without them.
Yes.
And their support. And I just want them all to know how much that I appreciate their support.
All right.
So.
Boss Amanda, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you.
Yeah, I should mention, too, our other friend, Scott McCarthy, who's been with us for a very, very long time, also is going to be leaving the company. A great, great guy. Again, another guy that has been great to work with, has been really good to me and to John and to everybody around here. Just a true blue, great dude and a good friend. And again, he's also going to be leaving the company. And we are grateful and thankful for everything that he has done over the years to put us in a position to win. So thank you to Scott McCarthy as well.
Yeah, I mean, I echo everything you're saying about both Amanda and Scott. I've been on both sides of this, more than one time, and it is never fun. It's also, it's a very different thing because with what we do, everybody in life loses jobs at some point, but it's different to lose your job publicly.
Yes.
Like, that's a very different, very difficult thing to go through.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I feel for both Amanda and Scott.
They will both do great.
Yeah. Yes,
of course. They will both continue to do great things, and they're a huge part of all of our success here at 710. Let's get a break.
Can I say something real fast?
Yeah, please do.
So, Amanda, she hired me to come here, and she was the one that... asked that I get moved up to assistant program director when she got moved up to program director. Without her, I am not here. I never make it to ESPN. She has had an immense amount of help to me towards my career, and she is going to be severely missed.
Yes.
Yeah, same here. Scott is the one that interviewed me first. I was hired weekly, it was like a certain period of time. Then Amanda came in, and she's like, hey, we got to hire you through the company, and because of her and Scott,
yeah, they've both been advocates for me over the years as well. So
yeah, absolutely. These changes are really. It was a sad day here yesterday, and but we'll move forward as best as we can. Okay, 2 o'clock call of the day.
Now, I am anticipating that this call is going to be a Lakers call.
Let's not anticipate. Let's just have it be a Laker call.
Okay, let's have it be a Laker call. If you've got a take on tonight's game, you want to talk about Dylan Brooks, you want to talk about LeBron James and what Game 4 means to his legacy as a Laker, all that stuff as we get ready for Game 5, which is tonight in Memphis, and you'll hear it right here on 710 ESPN. Our 2 o'clock call of the day, 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, Andy's in for John, 710 ESPN.
How do you feel about tonight?